You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Michael K. is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking. Is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
This is Stephen A. from Hollis, Queens. It's 3 p.m. and the Michael K. Show starts now. Holla at your boy, Michael, Don Juan, and Peter.
Thank you, Stephen A., and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us. It's the first day of December. December 1st, 2020, a Tuesday, cool, brisk, chill in the air. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, as you know, that's your responsibility. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you've had a good day, a good night, the whole deal. Let's talk some Giants.
Shall we?
The Giants are now in first place in the NFC East. Now you can say, well, they have the same record as the Washington football team. Yeah, but they have the tiebreaker in that because they beat Washington twice. But this is a division that doesn't have very good teams, and every single team is called into question. And every single team except for the Eagles are playing backup quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And the Eagles starting quarterback, if you watched last night, is actually playing like a backup quarterback and worse. It's hard to figure out what's happened to the Eagles. It's hard to figure out what's happened to Carson Wentz. But I've given this a lot of thought, and I wanted to throw it to Don and Peter and everybody listening as well. Is losing Daniel Jones crippling for the Giants for however long that they're going to lose him? Now, my first inclination is to say, yes, it is. But then when you look at the numbers, how much has he really done to get the Giants back into it with this three-game winning streak? He's played okay, but if you look at his ranks, it's like 28, 29, 30 in all important categories. So he's a below-average quarterback. So if Colt McCoy just plays like an average quarterback and doesn't turn the ball over, I contend, Don, that this little streak has been because the defense has played so well and the Giants have a pretty decent running game. Wayne Gallman's done a good job. So if McCoy takes care of the ball, maybe they don't lose as much losing Daniel Jones. Now, McCoy can run a little, but he can't run like Daniel Jones. And when Daniel Jones is right, he's a much better quarterback than Colt McCoy. But he has not been on all year. Again, because of the ranks that you see, 28, 29, 30, that's not very good.
Yeah, but those are kind of bogus in the sense that a lot of that was done early in the year when they were really, really struggling. I want to see what his stats have been over the last month, where the offense clearly has gotten better as the season has gone on. Now, I think the stats would have been even better had he stayed in that game against Cincinnati, because I think they would have covered and I think they would have won that game easily if he had stayed healthy and not gotten hurt and not be able to play in the second half. I think that's not a two-point game where you're sweating as a Giant fan. I think they win by a couple of scores, and they take care of business. All right, and the defense has played well, but you could do more with Jones. I mean, don't you think, you know, listen, nobody's going to put Gallman into the Hall of Fame, but he's been good. Why? Because you have to respect the pass, so play action works. You have to respect Daniel Jones' ability to run out of the pocket, make plays happen. That you can't just stick 8-9 men in the box and say, I dare you to run, which is what they're going to do with Colt McCoy as the quarterback.
Correct.
So You're not going to see Gallman have 100-yard games and move the ball that easily when they're going to say, okay, Colt, see if you can beat me. All right? And then he's going to have to prove that. And that's what Seattle's going to do, and Arizona the following week, the two games, I think, in which Colt's probably going to play, is, Peter, that takes a major weapon away because they're just going to dare Colt to throw. And you saw in that game on Sunday when he threw, you're holding your breath. Now, he can manage some things. He's got some legs, and he can kind of roll out, and he can manage his way. But on a 3rd and 8, when they're going to sell out, knowing the run's not an option, is he going to be able to make a play?
Trouble. But the last three games for Jones, 67% completion, 223 yards, and one TD. Just one. No interceptions. He hasn't. The thing that he's done is he hasn't turned the ball over, but he's 29th all year in quarterback rating, 27th in completion percentage, and 29th in yards per attempt. TD interception ratio of 8-9. So, yeah, I'm a big Daniel Jones fan. I don't think that he has been the reason for this three-game winning streak. I think the defense has done a good job and very, very stout. So I think they take a step back without Jones, but I don't think they fall out of any chance of winning these games.
I think
that
almost
makes sense.
I think it almost like down to like a 10% chance. There's no shot of beating Seattle. Arizona
is very little shot.
Seattle's
before.
Not that great.
I still don't like it.
Michael,
where's that game?
That game's in Seattle.
Oh, no.
Well, even with Jones, I would say, that's a really tough sell. Now, again, the Giants.
But, I mean, to say that Seattle is not a great team anymore.
They're not a great team.
Great quarterback.
But I still think they can win that division. They've got a great quarterback. So I think the Giants' defense can play lights out. I still think Seattle, in their own building, is going to score north of 20. Are the Giants going to be able to do that with McCoy? Now, I'd like to see, and maybe Yes can punch it up, what the Giants' running stats have been, because I think as Jones has gotten better and not fumbled the football, I think they've run the ball surprisingly well. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, Jones is a threat that Colt McCoy's not going to be. And do you think they're going to be able to produce running-wise the way they did with Jones? And if the run gets taken away, yeah, there's some weapons there. And again, I don't want to make it seem like he's just the worst quarterback in the history of football, but I just think you're kind of limited to what you can do. And in a league where I still think you got to go out there and you got to score, you know, north of 20, especially if you're going to win against Seattle, that's going to be difficult to do with a journeyman backup quarterback
right,
that
so
I think is limited in what
second.
He can do.
That five games remaining, the next four against teams with 500 records, and the team that's closest to 500 are the Ravens. And that game against the Ravens in Baltimore, you're going to have Lamar Jackson back. They're probably going to be fighting for a playoff spot. That's no gimme. I think the easiest of the four is probably Cleveland, even with Daniel Jones. How many do you expect him to win of those four, Don?
Well, you know,
and then you have Dallas, and Dallas could be fighting for the division in that last game.
If you've got a healthy Jones,
right?
I think they could beat Arizona. I think they could beat Cleveland. And I think, Michael, if you beat Dallas week 17, you may only have to win one of those four games. Because, I don't know, is Philadelphia
think six getting in?
Because, well, here, you know, I got the schedule. I wrote it down because I know this is going to come up quite a bit. You know, while the Giants are probably losing in Seattle, and again, I'm a Giant fan, but I'm trying to be realistic here, Washington is in Pittsburgh.
So they lose that.
All right, likely. Dallas is in Baltimore.
Weird week for Pittsburgh, though. I just want to remind everyone. Very
true.
Weird week.
That's a good point.
Listen, it's going to be a very weird week, and it's going to be a weird week for Baltimore, too, when they host Dallas. And then Philadelphia is at Green Bay. All right, so there's a very good chance that all three teams lose next week. Then, while the Giants are home against Arizona, Washington's at San Francisco, Dallas is at Cincinnati, and the Eagles are home against the Saints with, I would believe, Drew Brees back.
That could be a week where just Dallas wins.
All right. Then when the Giants are hosting Cleveland, Washington's hosting Seattle, Dallas is hosting San Francisco, Philadelphia is at Arizona. All right. So my point is that the Giants, I think Dallas probably has the easier schedule because they've home against San Francisco and at Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's pretty much done. But I think it's a race to six, especially with Philadelphia losing last night. And a race to six with the Giants beating Dallas week 17, because that's going to be a must for the tiebreaker against Dallas, that all you might have to do, Michael, is win one of those four. So can they do that? And Mike Tannenbaum was on with DCR today, thinks they can get to seven. He thinks they can win two of those four. I don't think you could do it with Colt McCoy playing all four.
Well, if you can get three to get to seven.
If you seven, you would have to then win two of those next four and Dallas.
And then Dallas. Got it. That's a very
I think seven's going to win it.
Yeah, seven's. I think seven's a lock. Seven and nine's going to win this division.
I don't. Because Dallas is one game behind, so even though they have the easier schedule, they don't get to win three. They've got to win four of the five
to get to seven.
Right. But you know, can Dallas win at home against San Francisco, a very Jekyll and Hyde team? Can they win home against Philadelphia and then beat the Giants?
Well, you know what's funny about Dallas? They're terrible. I mean, how many impressive wins have they had? Who can they beat? Because every team's looking at Dallas on their schedule. That's a win.
Again, that win against Minnesota that they pulled out late. That was quality. Vikings are a borderline playoff team in their own building. Cowboys had to get a touchdown late to win that game. That was legit. But again, Baltimore, who knows what their situation is going to be next Monday. At Cincinnati, you figure Dallas is going to win that game. So for Dallas to get to six, Michael, because Cincinnati would be four, then they'd have to get San Francisco, Philly, and the Giants, just two of those last three.
Well, you figure they could beat Philly the way Philly plays.
Right.
I wouldn't bet the San Francisco game, because San Francisco could either be great or they don't show. It's hard to pick them.
And I don't know what the three-way tie would be if Washington, Dallas, and the Giants all finish 6-10. Because then the Giants sweeping Washington would be irrelevant in the three-way tie scenario. So I'd have to see how that would all work out. But I think six gets it done. And if six gets it done, Michael, then all the Giants have to do is win one of the next four.
Assuming they beat Dallas.
But I think this team is severely compromised with Colt McCoy as the quarterback. And I think
of the three backup quarterbacks that are playing, I'd say that Dalton's the best.
Right.
Alex Smith is not that far behind the way he's playing.
Wait, you think Dalton's the best?
Of the three backups.
At this moment?
Yes.
At this moment, Alex Smith is the best one.
Mm.
Dalton didn't show me anything this past week. I don't know. I think I am obviously biased, but I think at this very moment, Alex Smith is the most consistent
Dalton one. Should be better. But over the last couple of weeks, Michael, if you look at the way Smith has played, when you really look at the way Smith played in the second half of the Giant game, where he threw for like 300 yards when he came into that game.
Right.
You know, and certainly, all right, Cincinnati's an awful team, but still, you know, he did it. And then against Dallas, he lit him up. So maybe, but the point is that Colt McCoy is the worst of them. And now you're going to have to go out there and win. Can you win over the next couple of weeks? I think there is a distinct drop-off. Forget stats, just looking at. We all watched the end of that game. When Colt McCoy came in, my heart was in my throat. I'm like, well, every time he dropped back the pass, I'm like, oh, dear God. And he completed some passes, but the passes look like ducks. I give the offensive coordinator a chance to put something together specifically to his skill set. I think he has a chance to look better, getting to practice with the ones all week. But you can't say that there's not a distinct drop-off between Daniel Jones and the way he was playing, not turning the ball over, creating the running game that I think is based off of having to respect what he can do with his arm, and Colt McCoy, where they're going to stack nine men in the box and say, let's see you throw and beat me.
Well, I believe that there's a huge drop-off, but I don't know if there's enough of a drop-off for the output of the team is what I'm saying. Daniel Jones is a far superior quarterback to Colt McCoy, but how much is Daniel Jones? Now, you're saying that he's allowed. I think the number is seven of the last eight games the Giants have rushed for over 100 yards. So you're saying that's because they're respecting the pass. We'll see what Gallman does this week. But the amazing thing, we're talking backup quarterbacks, and we're talking about the pedestrian nature of Colt McCoy. I'm sorry, and Andrew might blow up at this. Colt McCoy can't be worse than Carson Wentz.
Who can be right now?
I mean, Carson Wentz is, I've never seen such a drop like this. Now, I know he suffered a terrible, terrible injury, and up to that point, he was going to be MVP of that season. But he has not been the same. I mean, Sal Palantonio said today on Get Up, he said he would bench him not because Jalen Hurts is better. He said he'd bench him because this is your future. And the offensive line is so bad that he's going to get killed back there. What has he been sacked, 50 times, something like that, 49 times? Can't have that. And you can't just replace him with Jalen Hurts. Why? Because they have $54 million in cap space tied up in him last year. He's untradeable and unreleasable. You either make it work with Carson Wentz or it's not going to work. So Philly has to decide, do they have a chance this year? And if they do, do they have a better chance continuing to send out a guy who doesn't have the escapability of a Jalen Hurts? And letting he's sacked 46 times, he's thrown 15 interceptions. And he doesn't complete 60% of his passes.
It's amazing.
This is a different guy.
Michael, it's so weird. The two biggest problems they have are the quarterback and the coach. And the coach won a Super Bowl, and the quarterback would have won an MVP if he didn't get hurt late in the 2017 season. What the heck's happened to this
and
team?
And he seemed to be perfect at that time.
You know, but Doug Peterson looks lost. You can't tell me they're well coached, but it's hard to kill him because he won a Super Bowl. It's hard to win a Super Bowl being a bad coach, but something's obviously changed, and Wentz is just not the same guy. So when you move when you think of these four franchises, guys, who's in the best shape moving forward? Because there's certainly questions at the coaching helm in Dallas, where it looks like McCarthy has no clue, right? I guess Dak Prescott would be the best quarterback had he been healthy. Washington, right? I mean, Rivera's got a resume, but right now I don't know how happy you are, Peter, with him. What's your quarterback situation? You don't really have one.
No, you don't know what the future is.
And the Giants in Philadelphia is a mess at quarterback, a mess at head coach. I mean, the Giants, at least I think you're happy with the head coach, and you're pretty, you know, you're pretty confident in the quarterback, although you still need to see more. But don't the Giants feel like a better situation than anybody else in the division?
Now, here's the tiebreakers. Andrew just sent me three or more clubs. Note, if two clubs remain tied after third or other clubs are eliminated during any step, tiebreaker reverts to step one of the two-club format. Step one is head-to-head. Best one-loss tie percentage in games among the clubs. Best one-loss tie. Number two is best one-loss tie percentage in games played within the division. Mm. Number three is best one-loss tie percentage in common games. Number four, best one-loss tie percentage in games played within the conference. Then five, strength of victory. Six, strength of schedule. Seven, best combined ranking among conference teams in points scored and points allowed. Number eight, best combined ranking among all teams in points scored and points allowed. Number nine, best net points in common games. 10, best net points in all games. 11, best net touchdowns in all games. And finally, if you can't break it with all of those things, number 12 is a coin toss.
By the way, I respect it. At that point, it should be a coin toss.
Just give up.
Yeah.
If you've done an entire season and those 11 steps and you don't have a winner, flip a coin.
There's a lot, but there's still five games. So, but by the time we get to that last game, we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture on everything else. So it's probably a little too early with five games left to
I'll tell you what.
Tiebreaker. I'm just trying to remind Giant fans that the head-to-head against Washington would become irrelevant if it ends up being a three-way tie.
Right. Here's Joe Judge, the Giant coach. RJ, I'm going to play this cut where he says Daniel Jones' injury, he was asked if it's more than a one-week thing.
I would say this. Look, this is a tough dude. Like, he's a tough guy, and he's a very competitive guy, and he wants to be out there. And, you know, if we gave him the option today, he'd jump out there, I'm sure, with duct tape on his leg and try to go at it. That being said, you know, we've got to give this guy a few days to get out there in the field and see if he can move around, see if he can do something. And then the time will tell based on, you know, when he can get out there and properly defend himself and execute the game plan effectively. I can't give you any definite answer on that. There's not much to really hide on this, to be honest with you. These types of injuries, we just got to give the player a few days to get out there and see where it really is.
Now, one thing I would say with Joe Judge, what he said, it doesn't matter how tough you are. If you have a bad hamstring, you can't play. It's not a question of toughness. It's not a question of pain management. It's a question you can't plant on the leg. It just right. doesn't allow you to do it. That's not a question of toughness. I would be shocked if he plays in the next two games, either of the next two games.
Well, definitely
the way he looked
Seattle.
On the field.
Definitely Seattle. We'll have to see how, you know, how he heals up, you know, and how he feels when we get to Arizona. It's 2 weeks from now, so there's still time. But Seattle, no. I mean, and listen, I know he's a tough kid, but I think he's just trying to pay him a compliment. That's fine, but it's not about, you said toughness. I don't need him to go out there compromised against Seattle. And again, I don't want to throw things away. Could the Giants have beaten Seattle with Jones healthy? I guess it's possible. Seattle, as you said, they're not world beaters, but I think they are in a different class than the Giants are. But I don't want him to go out there, hurt it further, and then that doesn't return at all. So knowing that I probably only need six wins, if he's compromised over the next couple of weeks, but I get him healthy for Cleveland, I get him healthy for Baltimore, I get him healthy for Dallas, then sometimes you lose the battle to win the war. And that's the way I got to look at least Seattle.
Now, Don mentioned Mike Tannenbaum, our resident GM, was on DCR today, and he was asked how many games can the Giants win?
I certainly see six, maybe seven, if things really break their way. Maybe they get to eight, I don't know. But
eight!
The thing I again, is exciting to me if I'm a Giant fan, is just the improvement. You know, they're a million miles better than what we saw against the 49ers early in the season, what we saw against the Steelers. They're a competitive team. And, you know, you go back to that Eagle game, you know, they lose by 1 point. You know, if Daniel Jones doesn't, like, there's a lot of things that could have, should have happened, but this is a team that's going to be in the thick of this till the end.
I can't see them winning eight games.
Was he drunk? I love him. Was he drunk?
Well, the problem with that is they haven't beaten a team with a winning record since 2018.
And the next four games are teams against winning records.
And that win was an 8-3 Chicago team that they won in overtime. That's the last time they beat a team with a winning record. Now, Cleveland's 8-3, but I could see them beating Cleveland.
But real quick, to get to 8, though, right?
You got to win four of the next five.
There is a very easy way where the Giants don't play badly, guys, and lose every game here but the Cowboys. That's not undoable. Mm-hmm. At Seattle, home Browns, at Ravens.
If you play well, Peter, at home against Cleveland, you could beat them.
Could, but necessarily?
But we all look at Cleveland. They're 8-3, and you are what your record says you are. But there's a team that, you know, they beat Jacksonville by 2 points. It's not like they're crushing teams by any stretch. Arizona, you know, they kind of look lost sometimes, right? You know, they pulled that win out of their butt against Buffalo. They don't look great against New England.
No, listen, they find a way to get by. It's not pretty, for sure. They don't have the best win on the schedule for Cleveland all year is they beat the Colts a month and a half ago. That's the best win for sure. Everything else is ugly. But at the same time, Don, they're winning games.
Yeah, they are winning games. But again, as I said yesterday, that's one of the worst 8-3 teams I've ever seen. I mean, every single game is a nail biter. They do. They don't even allow Baker Mayfield to throw the ball. They're just saying don't lose the game.
And you know what's interesting, guys? With Arizona 6-5, they could not be a winning team when the Giants play them.
Yeah,
because if they lose this week, they're 500. And with Baltimore 6-4, likely to lose tomorrow, you would think against Pittsburgh.
But
they could be under 500 or 500 when they play them. Hey, remember, you know, Baltimore, not only are they going through the COVID stuff, that's a team that's been maddening as well. Like, so all of these, Seattle, it's going to be, especially if Jones doesn't play, hard to wrap your mind around beating Seattle. But the other four games on their schedule, three of them at home, it's not impossible to think it's going to happen. But for him to say maybe eight, that's a big stretch from Mike.
I have a tough time picturing how well the Giants deal with Kyler Murray. I do. I mean,
or
I'm not saying they
say Kyle
or Kyle Murray. And you know, the Baltimore is sort of the opposite of Cleveland. You know, they have some tough losses on their schedule. They lost to the Chiefs early in the year. They lost to Pittsburgh by four. They lost to the Pats at New England. And then they lost in overtime to Tennessee. So, yes, they're slipping, but Baltimore's still on a whole different level than the NFC East.
And maybe this is paranoid Giant fan. I'm uncomfortable just giving them a W against Dallas.
Oh, I agree. I was going to bring that up. I agree.
So, but that has to happen, right? Because you can't win this division, I wouldn't think, at six if that sixth win doesn't come against Dallas. Because even if Dallas isn't the team you're battling with for the division, you know, it could still drop you to 3-3 in the division, which means that Dallas would still possibly get the tiebreaker at that point, depending on how things break. So I think you have to get to six where they win against Dallas. But to just say that's a fait accompli, you know how things get with these divisional matchups, Peter, right? I mean, who the heck knows? I mean, Dallas could sit there and not need it and still rise to the occasion 100%. And just and beat the Giants to knock them out of the playoffs.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. And also, last night, I had the stark realization that I am, in fact, beautifully raising somebody who's another member of Narcomania. It was so beautiful. I teared up.
Wait. You were proud to find out?
Yeah.
And I know who it is. Because I know of your two children who is closer to you of the two.
Well, not to mention, extraordinary close to me.
Not to mention, Don, I didn't even share this with you yet. Someone narked out something about Michael to me that is, in a word, troubling.
It was.
Do
horrifying.
I even know about this?
I don't know if you do.
All right, so we got a lot of stuff to look forward to. So stick around throughout the commercial.
Yeah,
I'll come back and tell
well.
You about the Narcomania I'm raising. It's great.
Testing and news as well.
Testing news.
Testing news. What is that?
Well, you didn't see my
COVID
tweet.
Oh, I can't do. Do we have to wait for this?
No, we'll wait. You're the one that's in charge here.
Yeah, we'll wait. That's a beautiful tease. Everybody wants to know if you're negative or positive.
Almost ENN worthy.
Wow. True. Well, that's 3 hours from now. Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so they've calculated the chances to win the NFC East. The Giants, 36.8%. Washington, 29.8%. The Eagles, 28.3%. And Cowboys, 5%. Now, you look at those percentages, to me they mean nothing. Because 3 weeks ago, the Giants, I think, were 5%. So things could change from week to week. But right now, those are the percentages. So it was one of the great seasons in the history of the show. Let's go with Peter first, I think.
This is going to be hard.
This is a three-way tease.
Yeah.
This is a group tease.
Yeah.
Excuse me? This is going to be hard for everyone to get up from and deal with here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is tough. This is tough. I've sent the evidence over to Greek. I don't know if he can get it up in time. I was alerted, Don, to something very troubling yesterday.
Okay.
Michael had posted a tribute to one of his heroes in life, the great Vin Scully, for his 93rd birthday.
Very classy.
And do you see the picture?
I did not.
It's a beautiful picture, sitting in the dugout.
At Dodger Stadium.
At Dodger Stadium, just him and Vin Scully, just the two of them.
Not really.
And that's what we've been alerted to, Don, is that hours before, that same photo had actually been posted by the great Keith Olbermann, who was sitting on the other side of Vin Scully.
Vin's left. I was on Vin's
and
right.
And Michael hacked him out of the photo.
It's not at all strange that Keith was sitting on the left, but go ahead.
He hacked Keith Olbermann out of the photo.
Hello.
As if he was never there. No mention, no credit, no nothing.
He gone.
Just instantaneously, within hours, stole it, posted it,
okay.
And said goodbye to Keith.
Now, can I answer?
There's nothing you can do to probably help Keith.
Here's the deal. When Keith posted it, I retweeted it. Then my friend Jack Curry sent me the picture with Keith cropped out and said, two Fordham guys. And I said, you know what? I actually, that same day, mm-hmm. I have an exact picture where it was just me and Mr. Scully sitting together. Same clothes.
You do?
So I could have found that. Instead, I just sent the one that Jack Curry sent out.
So really?
Yeah. The fact that I retweeted Keith's original photo, I'm not fooling anybody.
Okay.
So, you know, it's not troubling at all. So take your... Don, how about your test?
All right. So this actually happened during the show.
Okay.
Nancy comes down. She was doing some investigating, and apparently something came up that if you live in the town that I live in and you have yet to receive your COVID test results, call this number. So during the break, I attempted to call, but I was put on hold for too long. I had to come back and do the show. So Nancy held and got the information for me. At first, they said they could not find my information.
Troubling. That's troubling, Peter.
That's troubling. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. That was very troubling. Couldn't find my information. Now that happens with my name because sometimes people don't spell it correctly. They spell it L-E instead of L-A.
They separate
the A and the G, or they don't separate it, which means it'd be difficult to find. So we went through that. Look under L-E, look under space, can't find it. So the woman on the other end tells Nancy, all right, I'm going to transfer you to somebody else. We're going to try to track this down for you. So they track it down and say that they believe my name was on a list of compromised tests, that there was seepage.
You've always had that problem.
Now.
Since you turned 40.
The problem with the whole seepage thing is there were two separate tests taken, in which I have not gotten the results for. The COVID test, and then they took blood for the antibody test. They were both compromised. Was the truck taking the tests to the lab hijacked? Like, how can both tests be compromised? I can see one of them, but both of them being compromised.
I also don't understand the seepage. What does that mean?
I don't know what that means.
It means something seeped.
Well, it probably
means there was seepage.
Maybe there's something that got into the test that made it compromised, that it wasn't sealed properly. But on both of them, one's the swab that goes up your nose, and the other one was blood. How can there be seepage in both? All right, there's seepage in one.
I mean,
you
did
give me
get
the results
test
the
at
middle
one? School.
I mean, listen, we can joke all we want, but the fact is that there's a lot of people that went to get tested that day. I guess I'm fine. It was over 2 weeks ago. I wasn't 100% sure I needed to go anyway. I just wanted to get checked because I wasn't feeling great. I didn't have a lot of the symptoms, but there may have been people there that needed to know the results. But I'm on this list of these compromised tests, maybe because the conversation started, they couldn't find me. And then I'm on this list of compromised tests because of seepage, but nobody called me because they said, you're going to have to get retested. Well, why did I call you to find that out? Why didn't you call me?
Wow.
When the test was compromised, why didn't you call me to tell me that I got to go take the test again?
Well, don't get the nose swab again because that ship has sailed. Get the antibody test. See if you had it.
You should have known it was suspicious, Don, when they asked you to do a rectal test.
Well,
now, real quick, did you, Michael, I don't know if you saw this. There was a tweet from Don that went up yesterday.
No.
He added the town where he took the test.
Yes.
He said, hey, I went for a COVID an antibody test at the middle school on 11/15. Never got results. Called MedLabs Diagnostics. First was told I was not in system, then told there was seepage on samples, !! On both tests, no call to tell me, clown show.
Oh, wow.
That's how Don addressed the town. Lest you think he's slightly, you know, ever acts not like Don LaGreca. No, no, no. He keeps that same energy.
Then I get killed by some people like, you know, typical liberal. Why don't you just go to CVS? It's not about where I went for the test.
Typical liberal. You went to a middle school. You didn't go to some concierge doctor.
Now listen, I'm not.
What a stupid thing to say.
I'm not bringing down the whole system. I'm not saying that it's. I'm just saying that I think when somebody goes to get a test, if it gets compromised, because sometimes it happens, you call that person. Not 2 weeks later. Now I have to go make the phone call. All right? I mean, so this is people that want to know the results of their test because you know what everybody's telling me is, well, if you didn't get the results back, it's probably negative. I don't know that. I don't know that. But it doesn't make any sense to me. How can there be seepage in both? There were two separate tests done two separate ways. Again, was the truck T-boned on the way to the lab?
Wow.
And if that's the case, then you know what? You get on the horn to all the people that took the test that day, and you tell them, listen, you better go get another test because what we did on November 15th doesn't count. Come on. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm not being political here. I'm not showing any leanings. It doesn't matter. You want people to get tested, go get tested, and if something happens, get back in touch with them.
Are you ready for the Narcomania stuff now?
Yes.
Here we go.
So we all sat down as a family to watch the Disney holiday sing-along spectacular.
Beautiful. Yes, we watched half of it on DVR. Very entertaining.
Very entertaining. Disney does a great job at everything. Love you.
Love that money.
So, Charlie is sitting in a chair in front of a couch, and Jody and I and Callie are sitting on the couch. Now, the sing-along is that somebody sings a Christmas song, but then the words pop up. And they have, like, a little Mickey head going to each word that you get to sing. Charlie didn't know the rules of engagement here. And once the words popped up, he threw up his hands and said, "No! This is clearly cheating! Putting the words up is cheating! That's not singing along!" And he stormed out.
Wow!
Well, I think you need to sit him down, straighten him out. That's exactly what singing along is about.
He felt that he was going to be tested to know if he knew the words to these Christmas songs. Instead, they gave the answer to the test right on the screen, and he felt that that was cheating.
And he basically was looking for a test.
Right.
He wanted to educate. He wanted to work the brain.
Yeah. He didn't want to read.
So instead of straightening them out, you're proud of the narcomania. But there's nothing being narked out. That's a misunderstanding on his part.
But the fact that he thinks that that's cheating shows how he will never cheat in life, and he will turn people in that do.
And I'm your kind of guy.
My kind of kid.
Michael,
so
what's
you didn't even watch the Cindy Brady Brady Bunch, where she was like squealing on everybody. They had to take her aside and tell her that's not what you do.
No,
I think
the Brady children were very poorly raised.
This is not the way to raise children. Narcomania is bad, not good.
Michael would tell his kids that's exactly what to do.
Peter's going to be the one that will live to see Charlie be a president of the United States or something.
We're going to be very close.
You think so?
I know so.
Interesting. Well, you were about to ask something, Peter.
Your sweater.
Yes.
What's going on over there?
What do you mean? What's wrong with it?
It's interesting. I don't hate it. I kind of like it, but it is weird.
How's it weird? It's a sweater.
But the top, the neck looks like it's something exploded.
Well, here's what
like you it was really sewn shut and then it exploded.
You could flip it up like this. This is what you do when it's really cold and the bottom of the collar is white. For those listening on radio, it's a navy blue sweater with white sleeves or ivory sleeves. And then,
Don, you see it's different. It's weird though on top, right?
It's kind of like the collar is coming from a shirt underneath.
Oh, it's like not, though. Oh, it's all sewn.
Honestly, I think it's gorgeous because what it does is take me back to the single greatest jacket design in the history of planet Earth.
Really? Go ahead.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
You might be a little bit before your time, Peter, but when
most
I was in grade school, the jacket to have, and I forget what brand it was, the NFL jacket that had kind of the, I don't know if it was what the material was for the jacket part, right? It's like kind of like a suede or something with the helmet of your favorite team.
Yeah.
And the leather sleeves.
Gorgeous product.
Oh my God, and when I got that I hugged it. I slept with it. That's how great. I would buy that in a second. If they made a giant one now, how gorgeous that would be. And it probably wasn't real leather, but you know what I'm saying? It might have been pleather or something.
Do you remember what company made that?
But it was like in fourth or fifth grade, after a big giant win on Sunday, you strolled in to school wearing that. Gorgeous.
Now,
and that's what that reminds me of.
That you're thinking of. Remember Eddie Murphy wore it. The Lions jacket, what was that, in Beverly Hills Cop?
Yeah.
And sold at auction for about $10,000.
That's the jacket.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not a Lions
fan.
Wait,
it sold for how much?
$10,000, which I thought was low.
That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's worth it.
I'm not kidding. I swear to God, that's not even my favorite Eddie Murphy movie I'd consider for $10,000.
Yeah.
How iconic is that jacket? And again, that's the style. That's what you had. Now, his was a little bit more updated, but like because back when we were kids, Michael, the only logo that mattered for the helmet was the two bar, you know, where you had like what I showed you before off the pennant from like a couple of weeks ago with the old giant, where it had the two bar face mask.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what you needed to have. And boy, those I don't know if they still make them, but I would love to have that.
Well, call your buddy Carl Banks. I got a jacket like that.
Well, Carl, the second one.
I have a
Fordham
jacket just like that.
It's interesting because Carl did send that to me, the great Carl Banks, because he's working with
he owns Starter now.
Is the next best one, when you got to the 80s, was that, again, what kind of material would you say that would be, Michael?
Gabardine.
That had, and it had giants across the chest, and it had
satin.
Just like on the uniform.
Oh, I know which one. Satin.
Right. Like, yeah, like the satin jacket. But what you had to have, though, is that you had to have the material that tightened it around your waist. Like, you didn't want it to go straight down because they made those types of jackets, too. But you wanted to go around your waist and the same material around your wrist.
No, no, no.
Those were gorgeous, but not as great as the leather.
Let's towel off, and I'll come back.
I'm seeing it for $50,000, by the way.
Really?
$50,000.
Now we're talking. Now that makes sense.
Wait, are you sure? Where are you seeing it?
LiveAuctioneers.com. Beverly Hills Cop 2, Eddie Murphy Letterman jacket.
Well, there happened to be two. One is in the Smithsonian, and this one was sold. I thought I saw it with Darren Ravel. Here it is.
Four jackets
were custom made. One of Eddie Murphy's Detroit Lion jackets from Beverly Hills Cop was sold today by PropStore.com for $9,225. Another one worn is one of the ones at the Smithsonian.
So there were four of them made. But still, that's a great deal. Don, under $10,000.
We have to pay some bills. I'll come back with a jacket that Don will love, and we'll take your phone calls. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Are you video chatting with the family this holiday season? Well, we've got the perfect guest for everyone's virtual gathering, New York Jets quarterback Sam Darnold. It's 98.7 ESPN, Sam and the Fam Sweepstakes. Here's how you win. Send us a brief message telling us why Sam Darnold should hang with your family for a 30-minute virtual huddle. Send that message to us at 987ESPN@gmail.com. That's 987ESPN@gmail.com. Winners are each going to get a one-of-a-kind experience with friends and family to have a virtual hangout with Sam Darnold. It's all from your home for the hookup and your home for the hangout. 98.7 ESPN. Don, is this the jacket you're thinking about, babe?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, isn't it? It's beautiful.
Are they showing it right now?
Well, they're showing Michael's got a Fordham version. Now, is that leather? Those aren't leather sleeves, though, are they?
I think it's faux leather.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. It's not the same material as the maroon.
No, right. It's either pleather or faux leather.
I got to tell you that Fordham jacket looks like my Def Jam jacket, which no other item that I own gets me more conversation than my Def Jam jacket.
So you can walk into any bar and people are going, "Wow, wow!"
They love to talk about it. Hey, by the way, Michael, I just stumbled while sitting here.
Yeah,
I grabbed a box of 45s from my storage today.
Yeah.
I stumbled on such an underrated Billy Joel record.
And which one are you talking about?
Well, I'm gonna play it for you right now. You're gonna tell me if you agree or if you think maybe you think it's garbage. Ready?
Okay.
There we go.
Oh, it's that famous song Crackling.
Yeah,
are you a fan or no?
I do like this song.
Are you a Modern Woman guy or no?
I like every one of his albums. I really do.
I think it's so underrated. God. There's something so cheesy yet magical about Billy Joel.
I agree.
Okay, let's go to the phones.
He checks a lot of boxes.
Let's go to Cullum in the Bronx. Cullum, start it off.
Good afternoon, Michael, Donna, Peter. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. I have to completely agree with you with what your point was making with the Giants and Daniel Jones earlier. I don't think it was the reason why we're on a three-game winning streak and the reason Daniel Jones. It wasn't him. We played the top three of the top five worst teams in football that stretch, and all we needed to do was play mistake-free football. The next four stretch of games, we absolutely need Daniel Jones. But I wanted to say the one point that Don said a couple of weeks back when we were talking about quarterbacks and your guys were talking about, you know, quarterbacks that are in those first 4 or 5 years that they still have questions about, like Lamar Jackson. He won an MVP, and people having real questions if his arm can carry a team into the future.
Right.
Besides Russell Wilson, all of the quarterbacks we face, if we play mistake-free football and we play good defense, mistake-free football and good defense will leave us within a one-score game in all of those games. I think the only problem with it, all of all those games, is Russell Wilson is a different level than all those quarterbacks, and he very well could take over a game. Everything else is winnable, in my opinion.
Well, I would agree, but if the Giant defense plays very, very well, then they could slow down Russell Wilson. But I think that Seattle's going to just score too many points for Colt McCoy to put up the same amount of points, unless the Giant defense can turn some into points. I'm not sure.
I think Seattle's just on a different level, right? But I think you're kind of underrating Jones as just being a game manager. Even that first drive was that 50-yard pass to Ingram that set up that first touchdown.
Like, but I think Cullen made a good point. The reason they won those games is he didn't turn the ball over. That's why they lost the games before that.
But the thing is, in some of these games coming up, they need more than mistake-free football.
You're right. Yep.
But to Cullen's point, it was his game management and lack of mistakes that allowed them to beat those inferior teams. But to beat Seattle, you would need someone who can make some plays. I don't care if Seattle's
the thing that scares me the most about the upcoming games, though, even against the bad teams, they didn't blow them out. Every game was a nail-biter. So against really good teams, these are all above 500 teams.
Guys,
I mean, there's a chance that they could get spanked.
The only reason we're having this conversation, they're in a lousy division. I mean, you're still 4-7. I mean, it's nothing really to be proud of, all right? But the last three games, the three-game winning streak, two of the games were on the road, all right? Jones doesn't basically play in the because it was like second half. He still threw for 213 yards. So he's probably going to have a touchdown pass and throw for 300 yards against Cincinnati. But the week before that, he throws for 244 against Philadelphia and had a 40-yard pass. He had a 53-yard pass against Cincinnati. In the Washington game, he threw for 212, which is pedestrian, just one touchdown, no turnovers, but at a 50-yard completion. So there are moments, yeah, not touchdowns, but have a 53-yard pass and a 50-yard pass in two of the last 3 weeks that sets you up for scores. Is Colt McCoy going to do that? Is Colt McCoy somebody that a defense has to worry about? It's going to stretch the field. Jones can still do that. And as a defense, you have to respect that he can do that, which means that can ease into a better running game. They're going to stack that box, and they're going to make Colt McCoy hit Ingram for a 50-yarder, hit Slayton for a 50-yarder. I hope he can do it. If he can't do it, then that's going to take the running game away, and they're going to have a lot of trouble scoring more than 10 points.
Isaiah in North Bergen. Isaiah.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, man. I want to say, like, I think the Daniel Jones injury is real. It's really, really significant, you know, because in the last game, I felt like he was really starting to, like, get real comfortable with the offense. Like, he was making quicker decisions, you know. If it wasn't there and there was a hole, he was running and he was taking it. I think this injury could have come at a worse time. Because I think that, you know, well, it might not be likely. I think we could have pulled it out against the Cardinals. Kyler Murray hasn't looked that good, you know, his shoulder. Something about his shoulder is bothering him. He doesn't really look the same. And, you know, the Browns are basically like us. You know, it's been a lot of close games, except they've fallen in their way.
Yep.
So, I mean, I think that, you know, with Colt McCoy, I mean, the defense is good, and I try to be optimistic about it, but, you know, I don't really feel good about it, man. Like, I'm kind of
well, I mean, what you're saying is dead right, Isaiah. I mean, it couldn't have come at a worse time. The Giants are in first place, so you want your quarterback, and you want this is your first chance to see Daniel Jones play in important games, which is what they wanted, important games in December, and they got it. They're in first place, so he's going to lose out on the experience of that, and hope when he gets back, they're still in it. That's the key. But if this year with COVID and also the way quarterbacks get hurt all the time, every team has to have a really top-flight backup quarterback. The Jets have one of the best backup quarterbacks in football.
But
so Colt McCoy is not a bad backup quarterback, but now, you know, now he's a starting quarterback for the next couple of games, and we'll see how it goes.
And that could be the difference in their season. If all he does is miss Seattle, then it's not a big deal at all. Because like I said, your chance of winning in Seattle were probably tough anyway. And then you get him back fresh for Arizona, you're okay. If this spills into Arizona and Cleveland, then I think he could be in a lot of trouble. That's why I don't want them to force him against Seattle, right? Because if he re-injures that or aggravates it, and now it compromises Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
I don't think he's playing against Seattle. I'd be shocked. Anyway, we'll come back. Knicks and the Nets started their training camps today, amazingly enough. And a very disconcerting story in the Post today regarding Leon Rose's plans for the Knicks coming into this offseason. We'll talk about that and expectations for the New York Knickerbockers. That's on the K Show right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Don, how about your test?
Nancy comes down. She was doing some investigating, and apparently something came up that if you live in the town that I live in and you have yet to receive your COVID test results, call this number. So they track it down and say that they believe my name was on a list of compromised tests, that there was seepage.
You've always had that problem since you turned 40.
This is the Michael K. Show.
There was a tweet from Don that went up yesterday. He added the town where he took the test.
Yes.
He said, hey, first was told I was not in system, then told there was seepage on samples, exclamation points. No call to tell me? Clown show.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, what a first out.
You know what? I did leave one of the best parts out of that story.
Please, tell us.
Is that when Nancy was told all this information, let the person on the other end have it.
You don't mess with Nancy.
You really don't. That.
Yeah, she's very supportive in ways like that. Like she was just not happy and that person knew it.
Now, I have a question for Peter.
Go ahead.
So, the Eddie Murphy jacket from Beverly Hills Cop, the Detroit Lions Letterman's jacket, it sold for $9,600. In that one place that I said. You said that you would even consider that.
I would. Yeah.
So let's say you bought it for 10 grand. You outbid the guy, a gal. My question to you is this, Peter Elliott. Mm-hmm. Would you wear it or would you just put it in a closet?
I think I'd wear it.
Interesting.
No way.
If it fit, I don't think it would fit me.
You're about the same size as Eddie Murphy.
Don't think so.
I'd purchase it. I would get like a mannequin.
Seriously? No.
No, seriously.
You could use the sex doll that you have.
I don't have a sex doll. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I like that, Michael.
And I would get like a mannequin that they have, you know, you can get it at the store that would display a jacket like that. And then I would have it in my man cave.
Are you going to get a phone call from your mom later? Do you have a sex doll, Don? Because I know she watches the show.
Yeah, it will be an uncomfortable conversation. I'm trying to get the kids all ready for dinner. Get upstairs. The phone's going to ring, and she's going to be inquiring about where.
But I know people who have deflated it
after usage. You put it under the bed. Like, what did I do with it? Thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. It never even occurred to me to get a sex doll. Really?
Did you see the guy in Europe? The story was in the Post today that he married a sex doll.
I saw that.
Yeah.
Well, what was that?
He doesn't like anybody talking back.
Now, real quick, Don, I've seen people do the thing where with a rare item they do the mannequin in the house.
Right.
It's so spooky. Weird.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Just get it framed if you're gonna do that. Find a way to get it framed.
It really displays the jacket.
I know, but no one wants a mannequin in their house.
No, it's not. Again, you don't have to actually have a mannequin.
Would you behead the mannequin so you wouldn't have to look at the head?
No, it doesn't even have to have a face, or it doesn't even have to have a head. It would just have a torso, have it be on a stand, and the torso would be covered up by the jacket. I think it would look great.
Interesting.
And that's being displayed. Now you can see the back of the jacket because it's got the Lions logo on the back of the jacket, too. So if you put it in a frame, half of the jacket wouldn't be displayed. No, it's perfect. I want to purchase this now. I want to get that.
You really have you got a lot of money to fling around, don't you? You got twins. You got to get through college, and you're going to throw
$10,000 out of Don's pocket.
Oh, I know. Don makes a great living now. They got the YouTube channel.
Did you interview with Trey last Friday?
How was it?
It was fantastic. Trey revealed that his new venture, Michael, is he's doing the secondary program on the LaGreca YouTube channel.
Interesting.
Which I thought was a tremendous
Well, I did see that he's doing a podcast.
Oh, that is true.
Which means that he's got plenty of money because you're not going to make money off a podcast.
By the sponsors he's bringing to the table with his podcast, I mean, talk about swinging it. This guy's coming out of the gate with like State Farm and McDonald's attached to his podcast.
No way.
Yes. McDonald's. Really? Who am I forgetting, RJ? State Farm, McDonald's, and another massive. Oh, and a booze one. Makers. That's how he's coming. That's how Trey Wingo's doing it.
Wow, good for Trey. The Knicks and the Nets, all teams around the NBA, starting their training camps because the season starts in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Amazingly.
Three weeks today, right?
Yeah.
Or no,
well,
no,
I think
tomorrow.
The 22nd, so right. Tomorrow. And I'm reading the post today, as is my wont. And Mark Berman, who's covered the Knicks forever, said that Leon Rose, the president of basketball operations of the Knicks and the former head of CAA, an agency, his master plan coming into this season was to trade for Chris Paul, and Chris Paul would be able to lead the young players, and then bring in Carmelo Anthony, who's very close with Chris Paul, and proved with Portland last year that he's far from done. And both of the things didn't happen. Chris Paul has a son who lives in L.A. and wanted to be closer to the West Coast and didn't see the allure. Now, this was a pretty smart thing in playing in an empty Madison Square Garden. Give that some thought. I mean, the beauty of Madison Square Garden is it's packed every single day, whether it's with tourists or not, it's packed.
Right.
If it's empty, it's a gym. And Carmelo, I guess, felt he owed something to Portland and didn't want to go back to a losing situation. Here's the reason I bring this up. So his plan B was to give out all these one-year contracts, which essentially are salary cap holders. Because they'll expire at the end of next year, and all of a sudden he's going to have $70 million in cap room again. Here's the one thing that bothers me when you hire agents to run your team. The players that they used to represent are not going to do them any favors. Because all I could do is put myself in that situation. If my agent became the GM of a radio station, when I was a free agent, my contract was up here, I would only go to the place that's best for me. Not because I like my agent. They're not going to do you any favors. You know who gets done favors when an agent gets a job like that? Guys that can't get jobs somewhere else, like Jed Lowry and Robinson Cano and all the CAA clients that Leon Rose brought in, guys that can't get that money anywhere else. So Stop the nonsense that just because a guy used to work for an agency like Brody Van Wagenen or Leon Rose, that players are going to do them a favor. They're going to do them a favor. You worked for them. You're not their brother. You're not their father. They're not going to put their career needs aside to make things good for you. And one other thing I want to say about the Knicks, that it sickens me. Every single time we have an offseason, the hope gets pushed off to the next season. Now, I understand the whole premise of building. They're going to build. They're going to build the right way. They don't want to build the right way. Their plan was to bring in Chris Paul, who makes $45 million a year, and a 37-year-old Carmelo Anthony. That was the plan, because they wanted to make the playoffs. So now the new plan is, well, we're going to have $70 million in cap space for next year. Well, who's coming next year?
Nobody.
It feels to me like the people that run the Knicks and the Knicks fans are like Sisyphus. All they do is push the rock up the hill, and it never gets to the top, and it rolls back down, and then they have to push it back up again. It's an endless string of torture. That's all it is. We keep waiting for next year. It's like rooting for the old Brooklyn Dodgers. Wait till next year. Next year never brings anything. David Fizdale was going to bring all those great players that were his buddy. And that's the same thing as, well, CAA clients. You think these guys are going to go with David Fizdale and play for the Knicks when the Knicks aren't good? You think LeBron James was going to go to New York rather than the Lakers, where he knew that they were going to get Anthony? Come on. Favors go out the window. These players are as selfish as anybody. I don't blame them. You have one career, usually about a 10 to 15-year career. You want to make the most of it. You're not doing your friend any favor or your agent. So the Knicks are in the same situation that they were last year. And if anything, they might be worse. And you look at ESPN predicted win totals today. The Knicks have the third worst prediction. I think the teams below them are Cleveland and Detroit. So they're going to be terrible again. It's sickening, Don. It's sickening. Well,
now, I don't agree with you completely, Michael.
Why?
Do think there could be a situation with an agent where it pays off.
How?
But it doesn't mean it, because some people are close.
But
I'm sure there are people who are really close.
Well, okay.
Say, you know what?
Who's closer than Kevin Durant and Kleiman?
Probably no one.
All right. Kleiman really, from what I could tell, really wanted him to play for the Knicks. What did he do? Play for the Nets.
Yeah.
You do what you do, not what your buddy agent wants you to do. But by the way, I used to have my favorite agent I ever had, Don knew him, Steve Lefkowitz, who passed away.
Mm.
Whenever he would introduce, this is my good friend Michael Kay. And I go, yeah, the only good friend who I have to pay 5% of my money to.
Right.
So there's no friendship there. It's a business transaction.
But what's more likely to happen, Michael, is the agent's going to do the player a favor before the player's
right.
going to do an agent.
Exactly.
You know, I don't.
And that's what he's done. Look at all the CAA guys he's bringing in.
They have to go under the assumption, almost the fact, that they're not going to ever get a free agent. So build via trade, build via draft until that changes. Because right now, no one wants to play for your team, period. And you can sit there and dissect why. Is it Dolan? Is it the fact that they haven't, you know, played a significant game in the postseason in 20 years? Whatever it is, no one wants to play for the Knicks. So what do? You draft. You make smart trades. You overachieve for a season like the Nets did before KD became a free agent. Sneak into the playoffs, shock some people, and say, you know what? Maybe that's a destination. I want to play with those young players. I want to play for this up-and-coming, exciting team. I want to play for this coach. But the whole idea, they got to get over the whole idea. Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, one of the original NBA franchises, a chance to play on Broadway, play in the same place that DeBuscher played and Frazier played and Ewing played. Players don't care. They want to go someplace where they've got a chance to win. And for whatever reason, they don't think there's ever a chance to win in New York. They're signing in Atlanta, Michael. They're signing in Charlotte. They won't come to the Knicks. So stop wasting time for cap space that's never going to happen. Start building a team to get to the postseason and see if you can change the image. It's not about selling. It's about building something that people want to come and play for.
The cap space just annoys me. It means nothing unless you could spend it. And this is the second time in 2 or 3 years that the Knicks couldn't spend their cap space. Last year they did the same thing. They had to go to the Plan B because none of the big guys spoke with them. Why is that? I don't know. New York's taxes are outrageous. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Didn't bother KD. Brooklyn, New York, last I saw.
You're right. So are the taxes in California, and LeBron went there. I think that another big problem with the Knicks, they have this beautiful facility in Westchester. They play their games in Manhattan. So if you're a player, you have to decide, do I live in Manhattan or do I live in Westchester and then have to drive all the way into Manhattan for a game and drive all the way back? Now, that might not seem like a big deal when you're making all that money, but these players are creatures of comfort. It doesn't seem like it affects the Rangers. So I can't speak to why that is. And it's the same owner. And it's a great facility that they have in Westchester. But some players want the easiest thing for their life. And traveling back and forth to Westchester and the Garden is a bit of a pain in the backside.
Because you practice way more than you play.
Yep. And do single NBA players really want to be living in Westchester? Or do they want to live in Manhattan?
Michael, I work for the Rangers. We land in Westchester. The guys with families get in their car. Some of them carpool to go to their house in Westchester and be with their family. The single guys get in the car. They drive to Manhattan. Lundqvist lived in Manhattan the whole time he was a Ranger. Loved it. Messier told us it wasn't that big of a deal. He would drive in from Manhattan there and never, didn't think it was a big deal. But, you know, I think it's a grind for a lot of players who want the nightlife and the beauty and the fun of New York City. And know, all right, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I got a 45-minute hour drive to the facility just to come back into New York, sometimes in traffic. You know, that's not attractive for a lot of people, right? To the guy that's got a family, wants to buy a house in Westchester, perfect. They're 10 minutes away. But And maybe in hockey there's more guys that are okay with that quiet life than in the NBA. Or maybe it's just, you know what, the Rangers don't have the stink and the Knicks do. You know, maybe, Michael, we fought that it shouldn't be Dolan because of the Ranger angle. Like, why isn't a problem? Why isn't Dolan a problem owning the Rangers, but he's a problem owning the Knicks? Well, maybe in the NBA community, there's a stink to Dolan and the Knicks that doesn't exist in the NHL because the Rangers have been competitive.
It's amazing. You say your brother has the Kevorka. The Knicks have the exact opposite. They repel people. And the only way that they could turn it around is like with the 8th or 10th pick in the draft, get Steph Curry. They got to get lucky.
Right.
They got to run into one. Or with the 15th pick, get Giannis. They got to run into one. Maybe Obi Toppin could be that guy because they're not getting players to come here until they're competitive.
What if somehow Thibodeau overachieves with this team?
That's it.
And they're competitive and they're a 7 seed. They win a series and they start to excite people.
That helps.
That's it. Because that's what the Nets did the year before KD, right? They were competitive. They snuck into the playoffs and that seemed to make them a little bit more attractive. The Knicks have this. If they miss the playoffs, in all likelihood they're going to miss this year, that's 8 straight years out of the playoffs. In a postseason sport, in the NBA and the NHL, you can't go 8 years without making the playoffs. You could probably get away with that, Michael, in baseball or football. Even football, it's almost impossible. We kill the Jets for not going for a decade. But how do you do it in the NBA when under 500 sometimes gets you an 8 seed?
It's the thing that made me want to talk about this today, because it's the first day of camp, is when you read that his initial plan didn't pan out. And that the initial plan last year didn't pan out. Nothing ever pans out.
His plan.
Look at Atlanta. They had all that cap space. And you know what? They signed players. They probably overpaid them, but they got better.
Michael.
And you can say, well, they got Trae Young. Okay, they have Trae Young, but they're still not a great team.
Michael, no offense to Chris Paul and to Carmelo Anthony. Your plan to trade for Chris Paul and have Carmelo Anthony come to New York isn't exactly building a house, Michael. It's like building a shelf in the den.
Yeah, they're doing it the right way. Well, the plan was not to do it the right way.
It wasn't a Hail Mary. Wasn't that hard to do, right? It wasn't that big a deal. Convince Carmelo to come to a place where he succeeded before, trade for Chris Paul. Wasn't asking to sign LeBron James, convince KD and Kyrie to come here. It was just, it seemed pretty doable, didn't it?
It doesn't make sense either. If you're doing it the right way and building it from scratch, then why'd you hire Tom Thibodeau, who's a win-now coach?
Right. No, but because they did what we've been talking about. That's why getting Westbrook makes sense. They want to sneak into the playoffs because they realize that will get people's attention.
Other players' attention.
Right, the slow burn isn't going to work. You know, the last thing you can convince somebody in a meeting, come play for my team because we've got a plan, baby. We haven't won, but I'm telling you, we're going to draft well. We're going to go out and we're going to make trades. And in 3 to 5 years, we're going to win a championship for you. That's real attractive to a free agent who wants to go someplace and play with stars and have a chance to win a championship, right?
I'm not looking to rattle any cages. And the Knicks do things in somewhat curious ways when it comes to media availability. Leon Rose has not spoken for 4 months. Don't you owe it to your fan base to say what your plan is? He has not spoken for 4 months. The only person he spoke to was Mike Breen on MSG. Also, he didn't have a press conference.
It's not the
tone.
Are
you kidding me? This is the guy running your team. And they have not made him available to the media, to the print media?
It's not the tone they wanted to set either. You're trying to... Wasn't this whole thing about stepping forward in a new direction with this team?
And it's the same old thing.
That's the exact same. So to show up and not talk, you're now falling right into like full-on Dolanism. This is not what you need.
But I don't think it's out of paranoia. It's probably just out of once they get the set plan. But like, what if he came on the air, right? I mean, he can't really tell you, I want to trade for Chris Paul and get Carmelo Anthony. So he's going to tell you we're going to do that, but he doesn't know if it's going to happen or not.
But Don, you could give an overview of what your hope is and what you're trying to build.
Here's the dilemma that Leon can't execute his plan. I mean, that's so that makes it difficult. Like, I don't think it's, oh, I don't want to talk to the media or I got a problem. No, I think he wants to talk to the media, but he probably realizes I got a game plan, but it's kind of not up to me to make this game plan work when you can't convince players to come here and play.
But when you're trying to separate, well, I thought Peter just brought up a very astute point. If you're trying to separate yourself from the past, and the past was always colored by the fact that people weren't allowed to talk. There was a lot of paranoia. So you brought in all these cool people like World Wide West, and you brought in Leon Rose, guys that are hip. They know exactly what they're doing. I mean, they're slick talkers. They're able to convince players to let them represent them. And they can't speak to the media for 4 months? The only person you spoke to was on the network that carries you. It doesn't make sense to me. You're shooting yourself in the foot, and it has nothing to do with us here. Fans deserve to have some kind of guidance on where the team is going. And unless you articulate it, and then we read that your master plan went awry, then it looks like it's going down the toilet again. What difference does this regime present itself as the Steve Mills machine or regime?
And also,
there's no difference.
Also, we get back to trying to get hires that are going to make this team more relevant and seem more hip. How's that worked out, Peter? Remember that conversation that we had like 6 months ago?
Also, David Fizdale was supposed to be hip. How'd that work out?
Because it's not about hip. It's about, I want to go someplace where I've got a chance to win. Or I can make a boatload of money and I have to pay taxes through the roof. New York is not that attractive a place to go play if you're going to lose. It's the worst place to lose. I can go to Atlanta and lose. Nobody's going to care. That's the thing about the Knicks. It's the fan base almost hurting the chance because they're the one of the teams, Michael, that has really been awful yet relevant. You know how difficult that is? Right?
And also, Peter, Atlanta has that place that has the great wings, too.
That's right.
I say Knicks. 1-800-919-3776. The phones blow up. They could be 50 games under 500. It could be in the middle of August. But what comes with that is that you know you're under a microscope. And these players, let's face it, Michael, the history is there. Players do not want to go someplace that's pressure-packed unless they know that they've got a chance to win. So you're asking me to come to New York, have to deal with the pressure, deal with the media, deal with the expectations of the fan base, and have no shot to win? Yeah, that's real attractive. That's fun.
You can't even be mad at that. It's hard right, but, to really be mad at them for that.
You know, and that's the problem. So you know how you change it? You don't change it by hiring some hipster. You don't change it by playing better music at halftime. You know how you change it? Go out there and Tom Thibodeau, take a bunch of ragamuffin players, sneak them into the playoffs. And
that's
say, I want to go play for that coach. That's what you got
to
do.
And it's going to be sneaking in if they get in this year. Sneaking in. Because they're just not very good. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We'll take your phone calls on this as we move forward on the show. 1-800-919-3776. Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Now, I have a question for Peter. The Eddie Murphy jacket from Beverly Hills Cop.
Disturbing the piece that got thrown out of a window.
It sold for $9,600. So let's say you bought it for $10,000. You outbid the guy, a gal. My question to you is this, Peter Elliott. Mm-hmm. Would you wear it or would you just put it in a closet?
I think I'd wear it.
I'd purchase it. I would get like a mannequin.
You could use the sex doll that you have.
I don't have a sex doll.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I like that, Michael.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Are you going to get a phone call from your mom later? Do you have sex doll gone? Because I know she watches the show.
Yeah, it will be an uncomfortable conversation.
On 98.7 ESPN.
It's been an interesting show. In a word, sometimes troubling.
hopefully entertaining. We've learned a lot about each of us. And I think that's important. Every show we want to bare our soul. I think that's key. Peter, why do you keep changing clothes like you're on a runway?
Yeah, what's going on?
You keep changing clothes. This has been happening for the last couple of weeks.
You know,
you have like a contract with these clothiers?
No, I was wearing a button down earlier.
It's called buttercloth.
I just got sick of wearing it, and so I changed into this sweatshirt. That's all.
No, because in our Zoom meeting, you had on a Raw shirt.
Oh, that's right. I was wearing a T-shirt before. I'll tell you the truth. I'm a simple man, but I do go through as many as 5 shirts in a day.
Really?
I do.
What's wrong with
reason? I wear things, you know, around the house. Then, like, I went to my storage, and then it's kind of dirty and gross. And then, you know, maybe I take a shower, and I get out of the shower, and I change again. Then I start the show, and it gets cold, and I put on something else.
Weird.
I mean, listen, I have lots of clothes. Why not wear them?
That's weird.
Why is that weird?
I actually feel strange wearing sweaters in the house. But if I'm never going to wear any of my sweaters this year because I'm not going out.
You think it's weird to like sweatshirts in the house?
Well, unless you're cold.
Well, you get up, you put on the outfit for the day, and then you get into your t-shirt, shorts, or whatever when you're winding down. That's it. That's all I'm doing.
But I if I'm someone who collects t-shirts and loves t-shirts, why not wear them? You know, you get you're in a different mood. You want a different vibe. You know, you get dirty.
He's treating this like the Sonny and Cher Variety Hour. Like Cher's coming out with a different outfit every segment.
Door where Peter is performing right now is Bob Mackie.
I think of my life much like a Variety Hour. Actually, just the other day, I found a tape. Don, you'll love this. I brought a handy cam to one day of high school my senior year and taped basically an entire day of high school. And just watched it. It was bizarre to relive.
You were always very creative slash annoying, weren't you?
I didn't realize how much I was sort of putting on a show, but I really was. The whole time I was interviewing people and hosting and stuff. Yeah, I was pretty annoying.
Now, did you notice our company got a nice pop on Sunday?
What company? ESPN?
Disney? ESPN.
What was the pop?
Specifically ESPN, because who wants to be a millionaire? The chef, David Chang, became the first celebrity ever to win $1 million. And his lifeline, was Mina Kimes.
That's
and even though she didn't have conviction, she still gave him the right answer. And
what was the question?
The first president that had electricity in the White House, but he and his wife refused to switch on any lights because they thought they'd be electrocuted.
And what were the choices?
I don't remember the choice, but the answer was...
Chester A. Arthur.
Okay.
Was one. The other one was Benjamin Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Johnson. Mm-hmm. And I forget what the other one was.
Woodrow Wilson.
All in that kind of mid-1800 range, so you kind of had to know.
I feel like it's Chester Arthur.
No,
that's what
Harrison.
I thought. It ended up being Benjamin Harrison, and she said, I think... It's Benjamin Harrison. And if he had gotten it wrong, he would have dropped down to $32,000 for his charity. If he just said, I'm not going to answer the question, he would have gotten $500,000 for his charity. But he wanted to go for the million. And Mina Kimes helped him to get it, and he became the first ever. I think Norm MacDonald came the closest getting to $500,000. But he won the million, and thanks to somebody on our team.
Mina is very smart.
That's going out on a limb.
Yeah, Kimmel's doing a great job with that, by the way.
We mentioned Trevor May was signed by the Mets. John Heyman reporting it's a 2-year deal for about $15 million. So that's the first signing for the Mets. And, you know, Joel Sherman said today in the Post, you know, so far Steve Cohen has failed. You know, they were not able to get a baseball president, so they gave up on that. They got turned down the other day by Chris Young, who pulled himself out of contention because he has young children, doesn't want to move from Dallas. So even Steve Cohen said, we thought it would be easier, but we're not getting permission. Nobody's gonna help the Mets and their $14 billion owner. They're not going to allow one of their executives to leave in a lateral move to go to the Mets. Why would they help Steve Cohen?
Again, I'm not going to get on Joel Sherman. He's doing his job. But it's interesting, right, Peter, how tough New York is. He came in here riding on a white horse as the salvation for the Mets, and it took 2 weeks for somebody to write that so far it's been a failure.
He didn't say it was a failure. He said up to this point he hasn't gotten the job done that he wanted.
But you hear what I'm saying, Peter? Is somebody that did not grow up in New York but has seen New York. This could be an example where an NBA free agent is just like, that's a tough town, man. God. And so I'm not gonna be down on Cohen at all, because I think he came in here and he realizes it's tough. It's tough to convince people to come to New York. And, yeah, we can say all we want. We did it with LeBron, right? Doesn't have the guts to come here. Those general managers, I saw it on social media over the last 48 hours. Those presidents and GMs that don't want to come to New York, they don't have the guts to come to New York. I think they realize is that, hey, I'm going to, there's a pressure pack situation already. I've got an owner who's saying I want to win a championship in 3 years. And if I don't win the championship in 3 years, I'm going to look like a failure. These are the things that I think kind of scare people off. And we can blame them all we want, but it doesn't change the image, does it?
Now, Peter, we love Jarv, right?
I'm a big Jarv guy.
He just took a Scud missile shot at LaGreca like he wouldn't.
I don't think it's a Scud. I think it's a wonderful message.
He said The awkward thing about Don Sextall is it looks like Dan Grosse. He only uses it to talk sports with. Hashtag best friends.
Hey, I got to tell you something. It's a very difficult thing during COVID, but we had to bury my Aunt Polly on Friday, all right? So we had a two-hour wake, and then we had the service at the funeral parlor, because I didn't want people going all over the place. And then we
very curious about how this story is going to entail a sex doll. Keep going.
Dan Grosse showed.
See, but I'm going to tell you why that's baloney, okay?
Wow, okay.
Because I just straight out said, listen, I've been avoiding COVID. Don, I respect you. I love your Aunt Polly. I'm not coming. I wouldn't expect you to. He said Dan Grosse said he was going to. I told him not to. So Dan Grosse is trying to be a hero. It was an irresponsible thing for him to go, I'm not going to celebrate him for it.
Wow, I love this take
from Michael. First of all, you are not the one to celebrate him. I'm the one to celebrate.
You shouldn't celebrate.
I told him, because I told, this is what I said to him.
He's risking his wife's life by doing this.
Don't feel the pressure to go. I felt bad having the wake because I felt like people might feel that they're obligated to go. And he still came. You don't think I'm impressed by that? He tried to be a hero and was. Okay? And he was responsible. He kept his distance. He wore his mask. But he showed. I'm never going to forget him for that.
You wouldn't have forgotten
anyway. One
of, if
not the best friend I have.
Wow.
So if you want to make fun of him,
I make
fun of our relationship.
I do.
Fine. We're close. We're as close as two people can be, like, be honest
it's
with you.
It's a little.
It's unnerving.
I surround myself with people.
Even
okay?
Peter admits it's unnerving.
Jimmy Stark, salt of the earth, one of my best friends. Tim Reed, one of my best friends. I gather people.
Did right? they show
and I,
up?
And I hold them close to my bosom.
Did
because
they show?
These are people that I love, you know, and you want to make it into something. That's just jealous, because you know what? I'm going to say it. You don't have anyone like Dan and you.
I don't want anybody
and
like
you.
Him.
And you
I don't want anybody.
That.
You know what?
You can
I have
say
a wife.
That all you want.
I have a wife.
You could say that. Spit it all. I got a wife. I've got a wife that I love.
My wife
and adore.
Is my best friend.
But you know what?
I got
people that are my best friends, and you're jealous.
I'm not jealous.
You don't
it's
have
a little odd.
In your life
even Peter
your
said it's unsettling.
As close to you as Dan, you are jealous. You're envious. So make
Mike,
fun of it.
Mike
you know
Green is
I'm not
much,
even going to stop you
Mike
this time.
Green is
not,
much closer
I'm
to me than Dan is to you.
No, stop. I'm not even.
Don't even
not
try that.
Not even going to stop you next time. Make fun of me and Dan. Make fun of me and Jimmy. But do it, because I know
you
I'm not going
to
stop
don't
you.
Don't make
because
sense.
Every time
He's 20
you do it,
years
I'm
younger
my,
than you.
You're just
Dan's
crying
20
out.
Years
you don't
younger
have somebody like
that. That would be like me and Ryan Rucco being best friends. He's 20 years younger than you. What do you have in common? Stop it.
He's 10. I'm 10 years older than him. What,
that
eight,
still
weighs matter?
Too much. You can't have best friends that different.
Yeah, I got it. Michael, I was
no,
with
I'm not
going
to argue. Peter, don't even. Let every time he says it, I just know in my mind, the translator of my mind is, you are envious and you're jealous and I feel bad for you.
I am not jealous to have somebody who is essentially a tick, a parasite in my life. My I don't want it.
That's so not true.
It's that's terrible. What a friend is.
You know what? You lost.
They only want.
I was there to have fun and make fun of Don and call it unsettling and maybe even question how do you view his heroism if he accidentally killed someone else by coming. I was going to go down that rabbit hole. But since we went down this, Michael's response of, I don't need friends, I have a wife, is so horrifying.
My wife is my friend.
But that's great. But the thing is, friends are different. Do you know what happens when people get divorced? You know who they go to?
Friends?
They're friends. Friends don't go anywhere. DeGrasse's locked in. Him and LaGreca for life, baby.
I've got those people.
But
I don't go trumpeting them on the air like Don. Oh, he went to my aunt's wake. You told us not to. He
you
didn't listen.
Go anyway,
he endangered a lot of people. I said straight out, even before he told us not, I'm not coming. I don't even go to the grocery store. I'm going to go to a funeral. Sorry. Out.
Wow. I got to tell you, you also are a hero.
So some people have taken what I said earlier the wrong way. You said Mina Kine's really smart, and I saw that's a stretch. Meaning, well...
No, everyone really knows she's smart.
Right. That's what I meant. She went to Yale. She's smart. So I wasn't insulting Mina Kine's.
I'm insulting
Peter. Why don't you all listen?
Now you're going to get... Now she's going to get tweeted. Michael Kay says Mina Kine's is an idiot.
I never said that. I think she's brilliant.
She is. She's a great girl. I'm a big fan of Mina Kine's. Quality human. You've really offended Don, though.
I don't care. I think he has to be called out on this. This friendship is unsettling. For everybody involved.
Keep saying it. I know.
Look, he even handed the jet gig off to Dan. He handed it off, Peter. Is that normal?
Well, what do you mean? He was done with it.
But here's my best friend. Here's my other job. He plans to give this job to Dan, too.
So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with friendship?
Peter, I don't know where this angle is.
All right, let's talk about the Giants.
Please.
I like this better.
No, I don't. Because I'm the one who comes out looking bad. Because I didn't want to get COVID by going to a wake.
But then you had to, it's not that. Everyone understood that. It's that then you had to crush Dan for it.
Because Dan then is going, he's covering the Jets. He's sitting next to Buttle, who's in his 60s. He could be spreading it to Buttle just because he wants to be a hero going to a funeral.
Yeah, but let's be honest. If Grasse kills Buttle, God forbid, then Don comes back, and now the dream goes full circle. It's
Grasse
Dan and Don.
And LaGreca.
Right. I mean, I don't think Don's wishing that to happen, of course. But it would happen.
I thought what he did was tremendous. And I'm not judging anybody not going. I get it. You had to cross state lines. You're not doing that.
I crossed state lines. I've crossed state lines for a charity softball game. I'm not going to cross state lines to get COVID.
I'm saying during COVID, it's probably not a good idea for you to cross state lines. Not saying what state you live in,
well,
but it's obviously not New Jersey.
The poll is already up on the Michael K. Show parody account. I've retweeted it.
Well, what is the poll?
The more weird friendship, Kay and DiPietro or LaGreca and Grasse. And it's very early on, only 22 votes in. 95.5% say Kay and DiPietro, the weird relationship.
Well, now it's 28 votes and it's 96%. How is my relationship with Dan weird, Peter?
It's not. I mean, it's close, but that's not weird.
It's, you know, you're just lying right now. You know it's way too close.
Not too close.
It's way too close. It's so close that I believe, and it's going to be outrageous right now, it's so close that Nancy should be concerned.
Give me an example.
It's too close.
Give me an example.
When he walks into the studio, like when before COVID, you would light up like a Christmas tree. Light up. There's nobody that makes me light up other than my wife.
Well, then that's your problem.
Again,
this is a K issue. I don't like Peter. You saw I don't light up.
You light up a Jace, but that's okay.
I don't see him. How often do I see him?
Ah, the hugs, the slap on the backside. I've seen it all. Frankly, I am unsettled by it, and I'm envious.
Both?
Yeah.
You don't have anyone who you light up for except for your wife.
I light up for Breen. He lights up for me. We love seeing each other, but we don't see each other that often. I wouldn't ask Mike Breen to come to a wake and get COVID for me.
I didn't ask him to go.
Yeah, but you didn't tell him not to.
I did. He did. He specifically told him not to.
No, that's not a good friend. He didn't even listen to you.
Well, because he realized the importance. Because he has been everyone, every week, every family member that has passed since I've known him. And I've known him for going on 20 years. He's attended. And vice versa.
Wait, so you're also saying he's a big... He seems to be a big death guy.
No, he's just a good friend. Why can't people accept that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know what, Peter? You bring up a good point. There's a lot of people that revel in death. You know, it shows them how great people they are. They put on a suit and tie. Boom, they show up in a wake. Oh, look how awesome.
Yeah, I'm here for the free M&Ms. I get it. I've seen it 1,000 times.
And I don't like it. So the Giants are in first place.
That's right.
And they have Colt McCoy as their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Is it enough to get to 7?
No.
Is it enough to get to 6? Let's say Daniel Jones doesn't come back this year, and I think he will. But let's play the game. Is it enough to get to 6? Can he win 2 of the final 5 games?
All right, let's play it this way, Michael. How many? Because let's talk about their defense, which is the best aspect of their team. Would you agree?
Yes.
All right. So how many points can they hold Seattle to?
24.
They're not scoring 24 points with Colt McCoy unless they get a pick six, unless they get something on special teams. Do you think Colt McCoy can score more than 24 points in Seattle?
You know, Yes has a picture of Colt McCoy up. He looks just like Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, he does.
He does, yeah.
Wow. Do I think he could get 24 on his own? No.
No, so that's a loss. All right. Home against Arizona, how many points do you think the Cardinals will score?
18.
Oh, I think more, sadly.
But let's be conservative. 18. Can Colt McCoy help the Giants get to 19 or 20 points? All right, then that's one.
One potential.
Home against Cleveland. How many points will Baker Mayfield?
17.
All right, same question.
He can't score.
Can Colt McCoy? All right, then that's two. At Baltimore, how many points?
I think Baltimore put up 24.
All right, so I don't think the Giants would score 24, north of 24 in Baltimore with Colt McCoy.
They're not beating Baltimore.
Dallas.
I don't know. You know what? I know we're supposed to know everything in these seats. I don't know what Dallas is. I don't know what Dallas is going to show up.
Well, I've always said, and this is not scientific. It's just something that just watching football. I think in order to win football games, on average, you've got to score 24 points or more. So let's just go into that. Can they score with Colt McCoy north of 24 points at home against the Cowboys in likely a situation where it's win or go home? What say you?
I have a sinking feeling I'm not going to beat Dallas.
All right. Now according to my little formula, my little exercise here, you still have them winning 2 games. But the problem is, if one of those losses is against Dallas, that may hurt you. Because if Dallas gets to 6, then they would have the tiebreaker. Now, I don't know if Dallas is going to get to 6, because Dallas has got some... I don't think the Cowboys are very good either. But at Cincinnati, home against San Francisco, home against Philadelphia, in between the Baltimore and Giant games on the road, Michael, it's not going to take a lot to win 2 of those games. So that gets them to 5. If they beat the Giants for their 6th, they would have the tiebreaker over the Giants because they would have beaten them twice.
Yep.
So the Giants, if they're going to get the 6, Peter, they have to beat the Cowboys as one of those 6.
But here's what worries me. Even with Daniel Jones, the Giants haven't beaten anybody. You gave the stat earlier. They haven't beaten a 500 team in what, a couple of years?
I think it was December or November of 2018. They beat
all right,
the
so
Bears
the games that they've won, the last 3 games, they squeaked by against bad teams.
Well, again, how... I'm surprised you haven't jumped in, Peter. Is Washington bad? I don't think they're bad.
They're not a good team.
But I don't think they're bad.
No, they're not. However, when they played in week 6, they were in the middle of losing 5 straight.
Right, and they didn't even know they were good. That's why I went for 2.
And went for 2 and lost by 1. And then 2 weeks later, when they played again... Their quarterback broke his leg, and Alex Smith played for the first time.
and took a half to get acclimated, and they almost came all the way back and won again. Make of that what you will. Now, here's my question, Don. So you're telling me.
And they squeaked by an awful Cincinnati team without Joe Burrow. Squeaked by.
But I think if Jones plays, they win that game.
But they weren't blowing them out with Jones on the field. They weren't running away from them.
I think they would have comfortably won the game. First of all, Cincinnati wasn't scoring, all right? They got a touchdown on special teams, right? And then we didn't talk about this yesterday at all because it didn't matter because the Giants ended up winning the game. The touchdown Cincinnati scored, they got set up on a first and goal on a god-awful pass interference call. Could we agree with that? That was an awful call. That shouldn't have been pass interference. I don't think Cincinnati was scoring a touchdown on offense in that game, all right? But I still think he had a 50-yard touchdown pass, a great drive. They would have squeezed out another touchdown. Michael, they got the ball in the red zone off a turnover. Colt McCoy couldn't get a touchdown off of that. Jones would have been able to do that. I think they would have won comfortably against Cincinnati. So they squeaked by. I get it. Listen, the Giants aren't great. They're competing against other teams like them. So it's just about how do you what is Arizona? Is Arizona a great team? Yeah, they've got stars on the team, but how good are they? They're 6-5. They just lost to New England. They're going to play the game here at Giants Stadium. I mean, why is that an impossibility? That might not even be a winning team when they play them. They're 6-5. So the Giants might actually be playing an Arizona team that's 500 when they play them. By the time they play Baltimore, who's 6-4, that's likely going to lose tomorrow, they might be a 500 team when they play them. So they might not have to beat a winning team.
Well, let's get Keyshawn Johnson involved in this discussion. He'll join us in just a moment in his weekly segment, so stick around for that. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.